Oh, yeah. Come on, Anna, get you fired up. God at the movies. Man, come on. That's an awesome scene from that movie, Independence Day. Couldn't help but choose Independence Day for this weekend's message, leading off the new series, God at the Movies, fired up. Can I just make a quick confession to you, though, that when I heard that I was going to have the chance to preach this morning and I heard it was going to be at the movies in the new series, my first thought was, Kung Fu Panda. I'm going to preach me a message about Kung Fu Panda, and I'm going to get to stand up here in front of y'all and say, Master, there is no charge for awesomeness. Come on, but yeah, I couldn't find any scriptures to really go on that. I started to build the message around Jack Black, and it just didn't work, so if you've never seen Kung Fu Panda, you probably don't have any clue what I'm talking about, but that's all right, man. Bear with me. This movie, Independence Day, if you guys have never seen that, that was a great stirring speech given by the president, you know, man, that aliens have come to invade our earth and they've come to steal our freedom. And man, it was a great stirring speech before they went to battle to come try to take out the enemy. And man, my job is to keep the goosebumps going from that stirring message, man, all the way through the message today. Amen. So I'm going to do my best for that. I do want to thank, just before we get started, I just want to thank Pastor Stovall for the opportunity to get up and share the word with you. As I mentioned, I'm the student ministries pastor, and I'm used to preaching to the middle school, high school, and college students. So if I come off a little bit edgy at times, please have a grace towards me. And if I say something that maybe only a kid would understand every once in a while, come on, do your best. Give me a little amen, you know? All right. Keep me stirred up. I do want to welcome also everyone in the annex, everyone over there in the annex. Let's give a round of applause to our friends over there in the annex. Wave, annex. Hi. Do you want to say to my wife's favorite way to enjoy a service at Celebration Church is sipping on a latte and just enjoying the Word of God, man. So you guys have fun over there today. For Independence Day, I looked at the movie, man. My wife and I, we went back and watched the movie, and I tried to pull out, okay, what's God trying to tie in from the scriptures, all right, with the idea of independence and the idea of freedom, and I just stopped there, freedom, all right, that I have a premise to launch out there to you today that God has a certain freedom that he wants to offer each one of us through his son, Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today about it. The message is actually entitled Spiritual Freedom. That what I find in the scriptures is that number one thing, the most important thing in God's economy towards us isn't just that we would be politically free or that we would be free to make personal choices and to do our own thing, but that we would have and experience the spiritual freedom that comes from surrendering our life to him and following Jesus Christ. Amen? So I just want to set it up by first taking a look at a couple different types of freedom. We're going to look at some vocabulary and kind of set it up here. Let's look at freedom. There are many different types. The first and foremost, if you've seen the movie, obviously, is that we need to be free as human beings. We need to be free from the oppression of tyrannical alien beings who want to come to Earth, annihilate us, and steal our stuff. All right, every human being deserves that, all right? Aren't you glad that we have that? All right, man, I'm real fired up that we don't have to worry about defending that freedom. That freedom comes free of charge, all right? Another more obvious type of freedom would be political freedom. For instance, here in the United States, as a citizen of the United States, we enjoy a great deal of political freedom. We do not have a government that oppresses us and forces its will upon us, but our government and our structure here in the United States allows us to be who we are and to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen? The Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, protect our rights as citizens. But that's not the case all over the world. We live in a country where we experience an incredible amount of political freedom. And I just want to take a moment, since it is Independence Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, and we're celebrating our freedom this weekend. I do just want to take a moment to thank all of our military, all of our soldiers, sailors, and all of our veterans. Can we put our hands together for them, man? Yeah. We so appreciate your sacrifice to defend our freedom so that we can have the freedom to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My dad, in particular, was a 40-year pilot. in the Army and the National Guard. Actually spent two tours in Vietnam, and then they finally kicked him out at age 60. You know, at 60, there's mandatory retirement in the military. They finally kicked him out. He went down flying. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, at 58, he actually went and did one more tour. He went to Iraq for a year flying Blackhawks, you know, with two grandkids at home. And I understand the sacrifice that it takes for our soldiers and sailors and our veterans. There's a great deal of sacrifice that it takes to protect and defend our political freedom. So we thank you and salute you this weekend. Thank you so much for all you do. Personal freedom, personal freedoms, inalienable rights, spoke of these, you know, the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you want to be a doctor in this country, you are free to pursue that end. You're free to go to college. You're free to yeah, that's hard work. All right, you're free to spend a whole lot of money on a medical education. All right, you're free to pursue that, though. You're free to do whatever it is you're wired to do. You're free to pursue that path if you're a musician or if you're a surfer or whatever it is that you do. You're free to pursue whatever path you choose. Let's look at another type of freedom. This one's a little different. You guys know that I'm a surfer. If you know me, you know that I do like to surf. I like riding waves. I hear an all yeah. All right. There's a certain feeling that surfers talk about a lot, that feeling of freedom that you experience when you're out riding waves. And maybe you've experienced, maybe you're not a surfer, maybe you've experienced it skiing when you're on the top of a mountain or in the backcountry on fresh powder or something like that. Or maybe you're a skydiver, you've jumped out of a plane and felt that temporary freedom, like it feels like you're free from gravity. Or maybe it feels like gravity's totally taken over at that point that you're plummeting through space. But man, the feeling of freedom, there's a certain feeling of freedom, of just being out there, wide open spaces, you know? And I think musicians feel this as well. Musicians feel a certain sense of freedom. And you can tell, like, I'm going to call him out too, Darren Escar on the saxophone. Woo, you guys know Darren on saxophone. Give it up for our worship team, man. All the musicians in our worship team, man. Come on. Like when Darren's on the saxophone and he's following, he's flowing along and improvising through a certain chord progressions and certain beats and tempos and rhythms that the band is laying down, and he's just kind of cruising along with the saxophone, just playing it. There's a certain feeling that as a musician, if you're a musician, you can relate to that sense of freedom of just being able to go wherever you want to go on your instrument or wherever you want to go with your voice. Not all of us are able to do that. Go wherever you want to go with your voice. But that feeling of freedom that comes from just cutting loose on an instrument, musicians know that feeling. Here's another one. Freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Something we understand as Christians is that perfect love of God drives out all fear. All right? And fear can be something that really kind of collapses our freedom. It restricts our freedom if we're afraid to venture out into new things. Or say if you're afraid of heights, you're not going to be doing a whole lot of skydiving. All right? Your freedom is restricted. You're not free to do that because you're afraid of being that high up in the sky. Or maybe, for instance, you have a social phobia where you don't like to be around a whole lot of people. You're probably not here in the crowd today. Maybe you're hiding in the back corner of the annex. We see you over there. But, you know, if you're afraid of being around big groups of people, it's going to limit and restrict the freedom that you have to meet new, cool, interesting people and develop relationships with them. Your freedom is restricted by your fear. So these are different types of freedom that we can experience. Now, man, if you just look up freedom on the internet or you do a little research in freedom, this is a huge philosophical topic, and this is something that's debated, and the different definitions of freedom and the ways that you can look at freedom, and does freedom really ever exist? There's a million different ways to dissect it. One thing, though, I want to pull together a common thread that I found in all these different types of freedom is that there are established boundaries that go along with this freedom. All right, with freedom come boundaries. All right, boundaries that define the freedom, boundaries that protect the freedom. All right, for instance, with the alien oppressors. All right, back to the alien oppressors. How about the boundary of the Earth's atmosphere? You just stay out of the boundary of the Earth's atmosphere and everything will be fine. Stay away from our moon. All right, alien invaders. Keep your green men and your teleportation devices to yourself. All right, so we have that. Aren't you glad that we enjoy that freedom as human beings? Come on. There's another one. Political freedom. Our boundaries are defined by citizenship, all right? If you're a citizen of the United States, you enjoy the rights and privileges and the freedoms of an American, being an American citizen. Also, you can look at like the physical boundaries around the United States, that we protect our borders, our boundaries, so that people cannot come in and impose their will on us and take away our freedom. Personal freedoms. The boundaries and personal freedoms are starting to get a little bit more complex. With personal freedoms, you know, we have this freedom of choice. We have free will from God. We have freedom of choice in America, freedom to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have these personal freedoms, but things that can be boundaries to that would be moral boundaries or ethical boundaries. For instance, if you choose to break the law, all right, you could find your personal freedoms removed as you go to jail. You know, that's just the consequences that come along with crossing that boundary. You can lose your freedom. Or, say for instance, you know, as a youth pastor, man, it seems like I'm always preaching, man, stay away from drugs. You know, stay away from, you know, the reason is, on this side, down the road, I can see back and I can see the pitfalls that our young people face should they fall into the trap of drugs and alcohol. Young people, listen to me here in the room. There are pitfalls there that your parents or that your youth pastor can see that maybe you can't. And that's why we're always warning you to stay away from those, because we can see that if you fall into the pitfall of addiction, you can lose a lot of the personal freedoms that you should possess. Freedom to live the life to the fullest of your potential that God's given you. Freedom to be all that God's made you to be. You can lose those freedoms by your choices. So personal freedoms can really be bounded by our choices. Even the feeling of freedom, that feeling of freedom like a surfer, that can be taken away. Guess what? What happens when the waves go away? What happens when the waves go flat? All right, man, your freedom is taken away and you find yourself jonesing for another day. All right, or what if, you know, it's summertime and the mountain, the powder melts? You know, you can't go skiing. You got to find some other way. Or, you know, the music stops. All right, there are certain boundaries. There's certain boundaries that define that freedom, that feeling of freedom. And here's another one with fears. That if we're afraid of, if we let fear control us, we won't develop spiritually into the people that God's designed us to be. And that's where we're headed with this. Check it out. Freedom and boundaries exist together. I offer that to you today. An axiom, a paradox. I offer it to you today. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm thinking freedom. Okay, freedom to me is like wide open spaces, big sky, you know, unlimited choices. But there's something about freedom. If you look at different types of freedom, there's boundaries that define that freedom. So they don't seem to go together. You know, freedom, wide open spaces, and something that confines that freedom and keeps it defined and protected. That doesn't quite make sense, but I want to just explore a couple reasons why. If you're a philosophy major here in the crowd, all right, forgive me. Like I said, there's a million different ways to define freedom, or even if it even exists in the first place, it might just be all in our mind. I know I understand that. But let's just go ahead and assume that freedom does exist and that we can possess it. All right, we'll look in the scriptures for the answer to that here in a second. All right, but I really believe that the spiritual answer to why do freedoms and boundaries, why do they exist together? The spiritual answer is because God loves freedom and God is a God of order. He is both. He's both a God of unlimited freedom and he's both a God of structure and order. He's not a God of chaos or randomness. He's a God of order. In creation, we can see this. Creation, like God's fingerprints, you know, that he created the universe. And I'll tell you what, I had the privilege of actually at UNF at studying natural sciences, and we studied in like quantum mechanics classes and physical chemistry classes, and we studied modern physics. My goodness, I'm taking myself back now. Wow. So we discovered that as the universe gets bigger and bigger and bigger, there are still constraints. There are still order to like the movement of galaxies at the far reaches of the universe. There's still gravity. All right. There's still rules that don't change that really kind of define the just these big, huge concepts that we can't even imagine. Like imagine, can you even get your mind around the motion of an entire galaxy through space and galaxies colliding and stuff? God is a God of order. There are rules and laws and boundaries even around that. Or even at the small level, if you go down into like through past like the cellular structure and through atomic structure into the nucleus and into like quantum mechanics and things get really small, there's still order. There's still logic. There's still boundaries. Things behave a certain way that you can measure. It's amazing. All right, God is a God of order. We see it all throughout us in the cosmos. And even in a spiritual sense, we see it in this, that God, in the beginning, created, and there was day, and there was night. Order. We see that, Genesis 1:1. We see that when he creates, there's order. There's a certain sequence. There's certain patterns to it. Order, boundaries. In the Garden of Eden, God issues his creation. He issues man total freedom. He's like, you're free to do as you please. But stay away from this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat of it, you will surely die. Boundaries, complete freedom, God's so excited about his creation, man. He's like, man, you and me, Adam, we're going to spend time. We're going to be walking in the cool of the day. There's another paradox, the cool of the day. Walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. But just stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a boundary. There's something there. There's a border around your freedom that's there to protect you. If you stay away from that tree and obey my instructions, we're going to be living in freedom. In the Old Testament, God establishes his covenant with us through the law, boundaries, borders. In the New Testament, God establishes his covenant with us through Jesus, his son, his very own son, boundaries, borders. And that's what we're going to explore in spiritual freedom, that Jesus provides for us the framework, the boundaries by which we can have spiritual freedom from God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to look at some scriptures about this momentarily. Can I just real quick interject a personal experience that I have with this, with a revelation moment I had with that understanding that freedom and boundaries coexist? Is because now I have kids, all right? My wife, Carrie, and I, we have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and we have to discipline them. We have to teach them things. Like, for instance, man, the kids love, my girls love to play in the front yard. All right, I love to play in the front yard, man. It's fun. They have like their baby carts, and they put their baby carts out there, and they got all their stuff in there. Like, they went on a trip with an umbrella and stuff, and they have a little pool, and they splash in the water, and they make little gardens for the ants that are out there with umbrellas to keep them cool and bring them leaves with water. It's awesome to see like them creative and just having a great time. They're having so much fun playing in the front yard. But there is a boundary there that keeps them safe, and that boundary is the street. They understand that they can play and do whatever they want in the yard. But what they cannot do is go running out into the street. All right? They cannot go running out into the street. Now, why did we set up that boundary with our kids? Because we understand that should they break that boundary, should they try to transgress that boundary and go across that boundary, it could mean the end of their personal freedom. They could be, if they do it at the wrong time, there could be an accident. A car could be coming. And there would be devastating consequences to their actions. So they're free to play and do whatever they want in the yard. They cannot just go running out into the street. And when they do it, can I be honest? We discipline them. All right, we teach them not to do that. We have to discipline them. Otherwise, they'll run out into the street. Man, the kid would, look, butterfly. Woo! They go running out into the street after the butterfly. But they have to understand that boundary is there for their protection. Their boundary is there. We can see down the road that this is a place you need to play and have freedom in your yard, but stay away from this boundary and you'll be safe. We can see that. They can't understand it, but they have to learn to understand and obey. Understand that their mom and dad have their best interests in mind, and we want them to be free within those boundaries. It was a revelation moment for me. Here's what I want to propose to you today. Tying all this together, and then we're going to dig into the scriptures to back it up. Man, here we go. If you will live within the boundaries by which God defines freedom, all right, not how we define our own freedom or how we look at freedom or approach freedom or experience freedom, but if we'll live within the boundaries by which God defines freedom, spiritual freedom for us, you will have full access to that spiritual freedom which is available to all of us in Christ Jesus. There is an incredible spiritual freedom, not just the freedom to go and do as we please, but an incredible spiritual freedom that brings peace and brings joy and brings hope to our hearts, freedom from the inside out. It exists for those who will follow Christ Jesus. And that's like the good news of the gospel in a nutshell. Man, there is freedom to be had, inner peace, inner freedom to be had if we'll follow Jesus, amen? So let's start looking at those scriptures. I'm going to tie a few of them together, man. We're going to look at some of the Gospels. I love the Gospels because I love Jesus' words, man. They're fun. We're going to look at a few starting in Matthew 4:19. He says this. A little bit of the backstory here for Jesus. Jesus has just come out of, Jesus is baptized and then heads into the desert, and Jesus is tempted by Satan in the desert and the dry places, and he overcomes the temptations. He prevails in leading that sinless life. All right, and he comes out and he begins his ministry on earth. I love how it says in my Bible, like the heading there is, Jesus begins to preach. All right, man, he comes out of the desert and begins to preach. The first thing he does is he calls his first disciples. All right, he calls his first disciples. And in verse 18, he says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they're casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. All right, and he says to him, here's what he says. He says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus is coming, he's coming into his ministry, his earthly ministry. And the first thing he does, he sees these guys. He knows that he's going to call them and they're going to follow him. They're going to come into ministry. But what he's saying, let's just piece by piece break it down. These guys are fishermen. They're doing what they know. They're doing what they've always done. Their dad was a fisherman. They're just fishermen. This is what they know. It's where they're comfortable. This is what they do. And along comes Jesus and says, come and follow me. He says to them, drop what you're doing. What you're doing, drop what you're doing. Drop what you're at. Drop what you know. Drop what you're comfortable with. Drop what you're used to. And come and follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I will take what you're good at and how you're wired and the things that you know how to do in the physical, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll teach you how to do those same things, but do them with kingdom, eternal impact. This is something, it was probably pretty cryptic when he said it to him. He's like, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. They're like, huh? Well, fishers of men? I don't understand. What is that? But you know what? In verse 20, at once they left their nets and they followed him. All right, so Jesus is starting to paint a picture here for us. He says, here's how he's going to call his disciples. He's going to find you where you're at. He's going to call you to come along and follow him to a new place, a place where he will take what you're good at and how you're wired and use it for eternal impact. Come on. All right, here we go. I love where he says this over in John. He's defining spiritual freedom for us, and we're going to see that. He's defining spiritual freedom for us. In John 14, 6, he says this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What Jesus is doing here is he's drawing some boundaries. He's drawing some structure around this freedom that he's hoping to give his disciples. All right, he's painting a picture. I'm going to take you from here to there. The way to get there is to follow me, but I want you to know this. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's being kind of exclusive here. He's being kind of, and when I think about freedom, I don't really think about exclusive. I think about a multitude of choices, wide open skies, you know? But Jesus is saying there's a little something that you got to go through to get to this freedom, to get through life, to come to the Father. You've got to come through me. There is a way. I'm making a way. If you'll follow me down this way, you'll get there. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that there is a way. I think that gets me more excited than any of it. Come on, man. Matthew 7, he says this. In Matthew 7, 13, he says, and man, you can kind of sense, man, these are boundaries being drawn. He's drawing some structure and some boundaries. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You know, I think we think of freedom, like spiritual freedom. It's like all roads lead to God. Everything's good, man. You just, when you die, just everybody just goes to heaven. That's freedom. Jesus is saying something that's really entirely different. If you look at the scriptures, he's saying, man, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. He calls us. He calls us to come and follow him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll come to the Father if we'll go through him, but he's the only way. This adds to it another qualifier, another boundary. He says, I am the only way. You can't get to the Father through any other way. You can't get to the Father through religion. You can't get through the Father through just, you know, making up your own religion and your own beliefs and your own faith. You have to come through the narrow gate. And Jesus is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the narrow gate. If you come through me, you'll get to the Father. The next scripture, man, really starts to get exciting. It's another boundary, but it's starting to get exciting. You know, these boundaries kind of make me feel at first, you know, kind of like, I don't know, Jesus. I've got to do it your way, and I've got to do it a certain way, and I've got to follow you, and I can't just do it my own way. That feels constricting. It doesn't feel like freedom. It's like I'm showing you the way to this spiritual freedom. And check it out. Here it is in John 14, 21. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Wow, the person, the disciple following Jesus, the one who loves Jesus, the one who has his commands and obeys them. Right, he's the one who loves me, and here's where it really gets good. He says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father God. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So if you'll come and you'll follow Jesus and you'll stay on the narrow way, if you'll believe that he is the way and the truth and the life. And if you'll enter through him and him alone towards the Father, we're talking about the end goal here is something incredible. It's to be loved by our Father in heaven, loved by our Creator, the God of all the universe, the God of all power, all wisdom, all eternity, the one and only real God, capital G-O-D. That will, come on, give him a round of applause. I mean, he's good. Jesus has painted for us a path to get from just where we are and just going through the motions of life to a place of spiritual freedom that we are in a love relationship with our Creator God, our Father in heaven. And guess what? Jesus is there too. He says, I too will love him and I will show myself to him. Man, all of us want to know the will of God. What, God, what's your will for my life? Jesus, what do you want me to do in this situation? Jesus, how can I overcome this? Jesus, you know, help me reach my family and give them in peace. How do I bring peace to my family? Here's how. Enter through the narrow gate. Come and follow Jesus. Believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. Have his commands and obey them. And you're going to find the life and the freedom that you're looking for. It looks at the first, at the outright, at the start, it looks like it's restricting. It looks like, oh my goodness, I can't, there's only one way. But in the end, you'll get to a place of freedom that you never could have experienced without. It just does not exist unless you'll come down the way, the truth, the life, Jesus. Here's one more, John 8:31. John 8:31 is a killer verse. John 8:31, Jesus says this. He says, man, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says this. He says, if you'll hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. So if you'll follow me, if you'll stay in my path, then you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're tying in the love of God with the truth setting us free. We're tying in the love of God with the spiritual freedom, with the peace that we're all looking for. They answer back to him. They're like, hey, we're Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. They're still thinking back here in natural terms. They're still thinking in natural terms about, okay, in our genealogy, we are descendants of Abraham, and we've never been slaves of anyone, and so we are free. What's this guy talking about? He's calling. He's saying that we're enslaved by something, that we're not free, but our genealogy seems to make us free. Jesus replies to him, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So Jesus tells him, hey, he shakes it up. I love the way the scripture really, it talks about if you sin, you're a slave to sin. What this says, though, about being a son, it says that we're not children of sin. Your genealogy can't be broken. Parents, your parents are your parents forever, all right? You can't change who your parents are. And parents, you can't change who your kids are. They are your kids forever. There's a genetic link between you, all right? And what Jesus is saying right here is that we're not genetically linked to sin. We're genetically linked to God. We have a permanent place in the family. We're just slaves to sin for a while. And that we can be set free from that and come back into our Father's house where we belong, the place of freedom, that's available to us. A son belongs to it forever. We belong to God's house forever, but we're enslaved by sin for right now. But check it out. He says it again in verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So instead of looking at your genealogies, instead of looking at your situation and saying, okay, well, physically I'm free, look at spiritually. God is a way to make you free, the way, the truth, and the life. The way to that place of freedom is through Jesus, and it's available to all of us. I love that scripture in John 1:12. It says, yet to all who receive Jesus, all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become children of God. Children of God through Jesus. We belong to God. We no longer belong to sin. It's foreign to us. It's not where we belong. We can leave it behind and go home to our Father. Amen? Come on, man. That's good stuff. The last scripture I want to show you here is Matthew 28. I love the Great Commission. I love the Great Commission. I preach about it all the time just because, man, knowing your purpose in life is just, I think, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us. All right, not just that we're created to love God and love people, but we also have a purpose in life. You know, we don't just get saved and get immediately zapped up into heaven. We have a reason that we're left here on earth. We have a job to do. It's our mission, our co-mission with Jesus. We're on a mission with Jesus, the Great Commission. And in verse 18, I love this. This is the backstory here, if this is not familiar to you, is that Jesus has died, and risen again. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has triumphed. He has risen to his Father. And he's come back to earth now, and he's with the disciples in fellowship and hanging out. They're breaking bread together. They're experiencing what it's like to spend time with the Almighty God and his only Son, Jesus. How about that, man? It's got to be a great time for the disciples. And the context of this is that at this time, the Jewish, the Israelites, they're enslaved, basically, by the oppressive Roman government. All right, they don't have political freedom. They don't have the freedom to just come and go as they please, to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they're waiting for their Messiah to come to set them free. And they really think it's going to be a political freedom that they're going to gain, that they're going to gain their independence from Rome. And they're believing that Jesus, here he is, man. He's died, risen, ascended, come back. Here he is. And they're like, yes, here we go. He even stands up and proclaims. In verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Pause there and really let that sink in for a second. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If you've ever doubted Jesus' deity or his proclamation that he is the Son of God, well, he's getting up here and saying, I'm God. All authority in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven, the spiritual realms, outside of time, outside of the physical realms, in heaven and on earth, the earthly realms and everything in the universe, he is the master and Lord of it all, the God of all of it. He stands up and he makes this proclamation, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And the disciples have got to be going, yep, here it is. Get your swords, man. We're heading. We're going to take out Rome. They're like fired up about it. They're excited about it. This is it. We're finally going to have our freedom because our Messiah is here and he's the Lord of all and all authority. You know, what's he going to say? Is he going to say that we should, you know, take up our swords and go and, you know, and fight for our freedom? Is he gonna stand up and say, "I now proclaim as the ultimate authority in the universe that there will be no more death or sickness"? Go. You know, what is he gonna do? I mean, that's, imagine the tension of the moment. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So just like in the clip from Independence Day, everybody's like, yeah. And then he says, the next thing that he says is really shows us the importance of our spiritual freedom to God. And how it is the most important freedom that we can possess is our inner freedom, this freedom of this relationship with God. Because in all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus sends out his disciples. He says to them, here's what I want you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He says to them, instead of going, I don't want you to go and overthrow the empire. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to show people how to get to the place of spiritual freedom. It comes through following Jesus. It comes through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It comes through him, the narrow gate, teaching them to obey and stay within the boundaries that protect that freedom. Here's what I want you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, taking them from where they are, and taking them into the place of spiritual freedom where they're living in fellowship with me. And we love each other. And God, the Father's there, and he loves us. And Jesus is there. He's showing himself to us. That's the most important thing that we can do now that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. He says that. Let me sum it up in this. Just 3 points. Point one, the greatest freedom we can possess, I think according to this scripture, is our spiritual freedom. All right, the greatest freedom we can possess is our spiritual freedom. Being set free by the Son of God, Jesus. Allow him to come into our hearts and to set us free from the things that have bound us, from our mistakes, from our shortcomings, from the wrong things that we've said, the things that have severed relationships. Being able to be set free on the inside and being able to help people get from where they're at, help them get into the kingdom of God. The most important thing is spiritual freedom. Here's the second point. Spiritual freedom. This spiritual freedom comes only from following Jesus. I think we've seen that in the scriptures over and over again here, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And it's not just a make up your own freedom type of thing. Freedom is not the ability just to make up your own rules and make up your own destiny and just kind of do as you please. That's not freedom. Jesus is saying, as you'll follow me, it's tight at first, but the place that you're going is a place of true freedom, eternal freedom. And it only comes through Jesus. It's not available through surfing. You know, it's not available through mountain climbing. It's not available through other religions, other ways. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. But the way does exist. That's the good news today. That way does exist. The third point, another practical application to leave with you. The key to the spiritual freedom isn't just following Jesus. I'll be a follower of Jesus. And then you kind of go back to fishing. All right? The key to the spiritual freedom is to follow Jesus. To drop what you're doing and drop what you know and drop what you understand about life and to follow Jesus in the way. And it's a tough way. It requires discipline to stay in those boundaries. But the way that you're going is to a place of freedom, spiritual freedom, and inner peace. It's available, but it comes from following Jesus day by day, hour by hour, choice by choice, decision by decision. All right? It's possible to be following Jesus and kind of head off the wrong direction by, you know, saying something hurtful to someone you care about. All right? But you can get back in the way through forgiveness. His grace is sufficient for us. It's possible to get off track by becoming addicted to something. It's possible to get back in by his power. You can overcome that addiction and get back on the path to spiritual freedom. But it's choice by choice, decision by decision, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, choosing to follow Jesus and saying, yes, God, I belong to you. I believe you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that you're taking me to a good place, a place of spiritual freedom.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.